let you feel exactly what's going on in all those different areas, but it's exciting being a part of people's lives here and seeing churches being planted and fellowships growing and then themselves becoming missionaries and, you know, reaching their own people and reaching out to other different tribes. So it's neat to see what God has been doing and for us to be a part of that and really how important it is for doing that. I was reminded a few months ago when Billy Graham died, it was somebody, he was well known around the world in Brazil. I mean, he was very well known around there. And there was an article that came out in the paper that talked about him. He said he was probably the religious leader that was the most important of his time, the most important religious leader of his time. And I was thinking about that because I just read a verse in Matthew 11 that said something different. When we stopped to think about all that Billy Graham did, really he was amazing. He preached in 185 of the 195 countries in the world. Around 77 million people personally heard him speak. Another 215 million people watched him on television. And it was estimated that 3 million people accepted Christ as their Savior through his ministry. So as we look at, you know, in ministry and missions, and we can probably say he was a great man. But we might say this, that, you know, that Billy Graham was probably the most important religious leader of his time, humanly speaking, but I don't think Jesus would really say that. And I get that point when we look at Matthew 11:11, when Jesus says a simple comment to some people. He says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women there is risen no one greater than John the Baptist." So I started thinking about this. Jesus is not just any man that's given an opinion who's a great man in ministry. This is Jesus who has a divine perspective. And he's confirming at the very beginning, he says, this is a true statement, this is true, that of all the men that have ever been born, John the Baptist is the greatest. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement. So something that Jesus is trying to communicate here is Jesus is trying to say that something that John the Baptist did or said was really, really important. More important, you know, than some of the great men of faith. Noah, you know, he was an amazing man. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, King David, Solomon, Isaiah, all these great men and women of faith that Hebrews 11 talks about. And Jesus is saying, of all those, the greatest is John the Baptist. Well, so I started looking at it. Well, what's so great about John the Baptist? What did he do? So let's take a look at some of the things that he did or perhaps that he didn't do from our perspective of someone who is great. So, first of all, we see that John came from the desert. He didn't come from a royal bloodline or come from a powerful or important family or a rich family. The only thing that we have is Luke 1:80 that says, "The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel." So there's really not a whole lot to say that he kind of came out of nowhere. One thing, he was alone. He wasn't part of any organization or big movement. Really, he probably appeared to be more like a homeless person that we'd see on the street, because in Matthew 3:4 it says he wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. You know, it just doesn't sound like somebody that's really terribly important. As far as we know, he had no formal education, you know, such as being a teacher of the law or an expert, you know, in the scriptures. In John 10:41, it confirms that he didn't perform any miracles like other people had done in the past. The verse says that many came to him and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." So John really wasn't that kind of a person that performed miracles. It doesn't seem that he had any significant ability or any gift that set him apart from others, such as being a great singer or a great artist or a great athlete or an eloquent and intelligent speaker. We don't see any of those things. really the only thing that we see that his message was really simple. And it wasn't always that pleasing. People didn't really like to hear what he had to say at times. Matthew 3:1 says, his message was, he came preaching in the wilderness, and his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, it wasn't a real provocative message that took, you know, years and years to prepare for this kind of message. It was just a simple message that he preached. Besides that, we see that John the Baptist himself, didn't see himself as a great man. Matthew 3:11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he was coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And verse 13, he says, John prevented him. Oh, Jesus came to Galilee to be baptized by him, and John prevented him by saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And so we see just different things that, humanly speaking, looking at a man, it doesn't seem in our perspective of what a great man is all about. John the Baptist was pretty well known, but he just didn't fit all those qualifications of what we consider as a great man. So as we look closer, there was a prophecy in Luke and in Malachi that talked about respect to John, what really this life of John the Baptist was all about, as we look closer at him. And so in Luke 1:76-79, it says, you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the other verse that talked about him said in Malachi 3:1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So basically, as we look through what Scripture talks about John the Baptist, really the key thing that comes out, that he was a messenger. He was a messenger. And as far as we know, a messenger, the importance of a messenger, it kind of depends on the message that he's talking about. If the message doesn't really have any significance to anything, he's not really an important messenger. But this message seemed to have a big importance. And so the focus kind of turns upon what this message is all about. And so as we look at John the Baptist, well, what's his message that was so important? Luke 3:3 gives us a little idea of what this was about. He talked about during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. This message seemed to be really important, and it was given to John the Baptist. It's so important that John had the courage to stand up and sometimes confront authority and speak the truth to important people. And sometimes things didn't go well with this message either that we hear. So just quickly looking at the life of John the Baptist, we saw that this was his message, and sometimes it wasn't very well accepted. For Governor Herod, we find out that in Luke 3:18-20, he preached the good news, but Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by John the Baptist, by Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, he added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. So we understand that because of John's message, it cost him a little bit. In Matthew 3:7, he confronted the religious authority of the time, people that probably you didn't want to mess with too much. And this was his attitude towards the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume you to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stories to raise up the children from Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And so looking at all these verses that we know and understand about John the Baptist, basically we see that as far as importance, it doesn't really fit our qualifications of what a really important man is. We understood that the message is really important, and the message had basically some consequences that he had to deal with. So as we look into this context of what Jesus is saying about John the Baptist, let's look at Matthew 11 and try to get a better picture of what Jesus is really trying to say about John the Baptist being the greatest. So I'm going to be reading in Matthew 11, starting with verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare you the way before me.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." As we look into that context, it seemed to be something that Jesus was picking up in the crowd as he was talking about them. And I was kind of wondering about this. You know, it was probably pretty awkward for Jesus at this moment that John the Baptist had been preaching, "Jesus is the Messiah. This is he, the Lamb of God who has come." And all of a sudden, a few months have passed and he's in prison. And now he's starting to have second thoughts and kind of doubts. You know, "Jesus, are you the one? Are we supposed to expect somebody else?" And all the people that we've been following here are starting to hear this kind of this conversation between his disciples, saying kind of, "What's going on? This is kind of awkward." You know, is John's preaching that it was so bold before, is he kind of backstepping on this and going back? And so as he kind of just imagine what people might be thinking, here's probably what we would have thought going on through our minds at that moment. You know, is John the Baptist, well, he's in prison now and we don't know what's going on. And some of the thoughts of, wow, you know, this John the Baptist, he sure didn't last for a very long time. It's only been 6 months since he started preaching, and now he's in prison and it's pretty much over with. You know, talking about great ministry and a great man, only been doing this for 6 months. That's not too much, you know. Perhaps his message was just all talk. You know, what does he have to say now that he's in prison? You know, sometimes, you know, things make a person think twice about that. If he really was a prophet of God, why doesn't God set him free from prison? You know, people are probably thinking about some of those things. Where are all of his followers now? At the beginning, there was lots of people that were coming to him. Now, just a few disciples, and only two were coming to talk to Jesus. So we look at some of those things. He sure didn't accomplish very much of his ministry. You know, what can we look at? The accomplishments? There's really not a whole lot there. Before you preach with confidence that Jesus is the Messiah, now it seems that he is questioning everything. So it's kind of an awkward moment. And Jesus perceived some wrong thinking in the crowd, I think. And that's why he came across with some of these statements that he gives a little testimony of what John the Baptist really, the kind of person he was, to set the record straight. So in verses 7 to 9, he gives this commentary about John the Baptist. He says, "What did you expect to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Were you expecting just an ordinary man saying random things? Was that the kind of person that you were expecting to see? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in soft clothing that you would see in a palace? Were you expecting a man that had the appearance of a position of authority? Somebody that really knew what he was talking about? Were you expecting a prophet of God such as Elijah? A prophet that was highly respected and honored by the Jews for many, many years? Are these the things that you're looking for in greatness?" And then we come to verse 10, and that kind of gives us the key to everything of what Jesus is trying to convey to these people about what the important matter is. And he says, "This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.'" The key is that, once again, that it was the message. He was using the prophecy in Malachi 3:1 once again, saying it's the message that's coming. Jesus is saying, don't be fooled by appearances. It is not a comparison of men. It is the message. It is the message of salvation. It's pointing people to Jesus that is really the important thing. And so we look at the importance of this message. John understood that the message that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was the one that could point his finger at Jesus and say, it's him. He's the one. He's the Messiah. Of all the other great men and women of faith before him, John was the one privileged to see Jesus personally with his own eyes, to walk with him and talk with him. Jesus was using, I think in this context, he was saying, as far as greatness and comparing men and appearances, it's not about that. It's all about the message of being able to see and experience Jesus. Interesting, in the following, after he says that there is no one greater than John the Baptist, in the final part of that verse, he says, "Yet who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And that's kind of an interesting, so that kind of blows all your thinking away of talking about a great man, but the least of the kingdom is greater even than John the Baptist. And so even though we understand that John the Baptist died before being able to see the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection and all that, so John only understood even a small picture. And later we know that the disciples, they were able to experience more of Jesus' life and his ministry and his teaching. Then the Apostle Paul came along and he understood more, revealed more to him. He explained it to the churches, to us in his letters. And people later on had even a more complete understanding of all that Jesus had done. And so Billy Graham was a great man, but he understood the complete message as well as all of us do. And so really what Jesus is saying through this whole context of John the Baptist being the greatest man is that real greatness is to know and understand the message of salvation, to know Jesus and to point others to him. That's the really important thing. You know, John the Baptist obviously had done and said some really important things, because Jesus wouldn't have said that. And that's his message that continues on today. It's a simple message, but it's the really important, and it's the most important message in the world, and it continues to be the simple thing that he was saying is, repent, turn away from your sins, come back to God, be forgiven, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. And so, just our challenge as we, you know, as a church body, as believers, as being a part of the Great Commission to get this message, this greatest message, the most important message in the world, live our lives for this. Greatness is what this is all about. It's all about being part of the message that God has given to the world. The kingdom of heaven is coming soon. I'll be a part in fulfilling the Great Commission and seeing and pointing others to Jesus Christ. And so that's why we do what we do. It's not just a job. It's really important, and it's really a high calling that God has given the church, something that demands all of our time and all of our energy. So we want to thank you for your part in our ministry, for all that you've been involved in during the years, for praying for us, for giving for us, and we thank our God for you, and we ask you continue to pray for us as we continue on, that God will continue to build this church among the tribal people there in Brazil. So thank you, and I'll turn it back over to you, Pastor.
Wouldn't it be neat one day, and there will be a day, we gather all our missionaries together, and we see every place that they are and whatever they're doing and the message that they're giving out. And we see a little bit here. When was the last time you guys were here? A year ago exactly? Or 2 years already. Wow. 2 years ago. And we're reminded what they're doing in South America. So if I'm hearing you right, Jeff, there's a message that's going out to the world. And you guys have taken your part and you're giving it to South America. You're giving it to Brazil. And we have taken them on as a project? Or are we partners with them? Better yet, okay, so we send them some money here and there, and hopefully we'll give them a little bit more today. That's maybe one part of our lives, but the question I think I hear him saying is there's a message that you and I are a part of. Not just in giving, but you're taking your message with you. And the verse that kept going through my mind was, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. When all these little pieces, and can I say little bodies, little people, come together and give this message to the world. And you, that's what you are doing through Jeff and Judy, through others, and even with yourselves. And so we want to pray for you now and thank God for you. Lord, we worship you today, and we honor you for the message. And the message is not just something that goes out and comes back void and doesn't make a dent in anything, but it is about your Son. And we want to thank you for Jeff and Judy, who have taken this on as in 28 years, and their life and their children and their whole life is about this message. And we pray that maybe it can just be a little bit about our lives as well in giving it to this message. And we just pray that you'll go with them, with the rest of our missionaries as we think about them, and ourselves, Lord, as we give this message to our friends and our families, and we take a stand for not a word, but a person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.